AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high-quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear-headed, full of energy, and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop, once a day, before breakfast, and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee, because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit, the technology platform that brings financial confidence with products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. You might have learned the recorder in school, but probably not how to navigate the financial world. Luckily, Intuit's on a mission to help with the free Intuit for Education program. It provides students with the lessons to learn essential skills, like how to build credit, file taxes, and budget. Check out their free resources at intuit.com/education.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Cock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Cock.
A camel turnip.
Me and Rick were just talking about the Kevin Bridges bit where he goes around his house, mate's house, for a Chinese takeaway, and they offer him some.
Right.
But they. They have, what do they call it, Rick? Hoose race. They make...
Hoose race, yeah. They're dishing up and he's like, where's the rice? And he's like, oh. He's saying, no, the wife will just, she's just boiling it up now. And he's like, what? You didn't order it. I'm not gonna order rice for £3 when you've got, oh, well, I can just boil it up.
And you've got house like, rice.
Yeah, it's like the O'Reilly's having hoose race. It's fucking well. I'm telling everyone about this. I'm telling everyone.
Oh, man. That's funny.
We're saying this obviously because you're currently, you've just got off stage, literally just got off stage in Perth.
Perth, mate. Perth, Australia. I've literally just come off and Kev's just gone on now. So I've just gone straight to my dressing room. I've opened an Asahi and now I'm going to talk about Tottenham.
And what time is it there?
It is 8:35 p.m.
Wow. 8:45 p.m. That's not bad. I thought it was going to be like 12:30 at
night. Perth's not too bad. But no, because Perth is the first port of call, like in terms of the date line.
Right.
Like it's mental. Like Australia's so big that, yeah, Perth is like 3 hours different to the others, like to Melbourne and that. It's like it's more in line with bloody Jakarta and all that stuff.
All right,
it's weird. You can get jet lagged in Australia. That's how big it is. Traveling around it.
I'm not sure why Australia's a thing, really. I know your wife's Australian, and there's loads of Australias, loads of Australias listening to the podcast. But it's just too big. There's too many dangerous animals. I don't see the point in it.
Well, it depends. I suppose, like, if you're in the cities, like in the Melbourne's pretty, like, it's like a sort of European city. But mate, Perth. We landed in Perth the day before yesterday. It was 39 degrees.
Oh,
and I was like, we are not meant to be here.
That's disgusting. No one's meant to be there. It's fucking winter. I know it's summer there though, isn't it?
Yeah, we're just going into summer here. But like, it was, I'm talking like, it was the hottest I've ever felt anything. It's hotter than a sauna. At least in a sauna, like, your brain thinks, oh yeah, this is cool. This is like an experience.
Yeah.
But imagine but walking down the street shouldn't feel like that. It was disgraceful.
The sauna's a game, isn't it? The brain thinks this is a game. How long can I stay in this intense heat? But walking down the high street in Perth, it's not a game,
is it? Going to get a Diet Coke shouldn't feel like being in a sauna.
Rick, you know there's a place called Alice Springs in the middle of Australia. It's a disgusting little place, boiling hot. It's
like, I've been there.
There's nothing there. There's an airport and then just people milling around in there. that's Alice Springs. What kind of industry is in the middle of Australia? It's stupid. It shouldn't exist. Remove Alice Springs from the map. Ricky, you're going to Spurs at the weekend.
Yeah, I am.
What? How are you feeling about it? Because we're still in this midst of a crisis, right?
Yeah, I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling good because I haven't been to Tottenham in ages, and it's my favourite thing to do. So that's good.
what point walking to the ground where you go, fuck, I wish I was home?
It's normally when the final whistle goes and I look around to get out the stadium and there's just queues everywhere and you're like, fucking hell, I ain't getting home till God knows what time.
I'm like,
leading up to it, it's great. It's like it's a day out, isn't it? It's
yeah,
day out with your mates, having a beer and meeting my dad and all the lovely stuff that we've spoken about many a time. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. And if I'm honest, like, obviously we've had the result against Chelsea, the result against Wolves, and obviously conceding two in the dying minutes. But we're playing at home. We've had 2 weeks. Andrew's had 2 weeks to prepare for this game with the players that are there. I think he would have, hatched a game plan. We're at home and Villa don't tend to travel that well. I think that we are going to win and mm-hmm. I'm pretty positive about it. I think this is where the worm turns. This is it.
Well, this is where the worm turns. We've had a mental game against Chelsea, which pretty much doesn't count. And then yeah. A Wolves game where we're completely decimated. Like, we've got a question here from Steve Collins because it is Thursday Q&A podcast. Which means there's no running order. We just answer the questions. We talk about whatever we want. Some of it might be about Spurs, like this one. Steve Collins, he says, if we lose to Villa and City, will the Ange hype train officially grind to a halt?
Nah.
Okay.
It's that thing where, like, again, if we feel like that, that's because we're the victims of our own success of how well we started, innit? Like, you know, everyone thought we were going to be mid-table and it just so happens that we started so strong that now any sort of falter looks worse than it actually is. Do you know what I mean?
Like, Carl, sorry, just so I remember, just a little bit away from the mic because it's just distorting slightly.
Got right up.
Close. Cool. It's in your mouth by the sound of it.
I'm holding it with my mouth, mate. But do you know what I mean? Like, it was, yeah, I agree actually in that thing of the Chelsea match, you can't really... You know, it's different. The Chelsea match was so chaotic. Let's not judge anything on that. The Wolves match, we were playing, you know, the sort of our defence is fucked. So this one, at least he's had a couple of weeks to try and work out a better way of making them fit the system. I'm a bit more confident about this than I am the Wolves match, you know what I mean? Even though Villa are obviously on form and they've got one of the most informed strikers in the bloody Europe or something at the minute. Do you know what I mean? Like... everything on paper says we should probably lose it if we're in this vein of form, but weirdly I feel like we're going to give a better show of ourselves than we did against Wolves.
Do you think 2 weeks is enough to fix Eric Dier? Can't make him faster, can we?
No, I mean, I'm not saying Dier's going to come out and be like Paolo Maldini, but I think, I do think he also needs a bit more time to play in the team, didn't he? If he's going to fill in for a bit, or I don't know, maybe, you know, it's that thing, a lot of people are calling for the younger players to just be thrown in, but that could be even more chaotic, couldn't it? At least Dier is experienced and he knows how to bloody make a challenge, and it's just that he's not the best passer or runner, which they are crucial to football.
Or anything, really. We did...
imagine for these 2 weeks, and just made Dier do sprinting exercises just to speed him up. Like he's just, everyone else is doing normal training and Dyer's just running around the pitch with weights tied to his back and he's just sprinting
comes
up
out
and
he's
down.
Like, he's lost about 2 stone. Run like 100 meters in like 10.2.
Yeah. Andrew just goes, I know this is a bit obvious and you might not have thought about this before. Can you just run a bit faster, please? just run a bit faster. And he's been doing 2 weeks of drills and they've done his testing. He's slower. He's absolutely slower than he was. We did a podcast, and I might mention this before, but people might not have heard me say it, but we did a podcast with Kish from Lily White Lab, and he was talking about, I asked the question, basically, is Phillips a better option, or Dorrington a better option than Eric Dyer? And it was his estimation, given the fact that he'd watched a lot of youth football, that it would be a significant step down from what Dyer is able to do. And that at this stage...
Really?
Yeah. He said at this stage, Phillips is probably a championship level defender.
Right.
It might be too harsh. He said, you don't know until you know, but based on what he's seen thus far and the jump from under 21s to the Premier League is gigantic, he thinks they're not ready yet.
Okay.
Which is on Daniel
Levy.
I
get that, but I was going to say, like, Van de Ven, you know, look at our history with players coming from Holland. You know, they come in and normally look like championship players, don't they?
Yeah.
But like, he come in and he suddenly looks like the greatest defender who's ever played football.
Yeah.
So, you know, I sometimes think the actual step up is the thing those players need to kick on, don't they?
Rick, did you see Van de Ven's Instagram post?
Yeah, there's been a couple.
So the one we're talking about, if people haven't mentioned, what was it?
There's one, I think it was him playing and an hourglass.
Yeah, like time.
I'd say like, yeah, that soon.
Right, yeah, that's my issue with this.
Soon.
So how soon though? Are we talking before January? Looking at January as a concept and the calendar
It'd
as a concept?
It'd be funny if he came flying in tomorrow, like the Royal Rumble, you just heard the music start. But he comes pelting down the tunnel and just ends someone.
But soon, January is soon, figuratively speaking, right? It's a month away. But it's not soon enough for us. So what does it mean? Why post that? Why get my hopes up?
He did another one as well for Madders' birthday of them two. And I think it was like, we'll play soon together, brother, or something like that.
Were they doing kick-ups in this video?
No, they weren't. It's just a picture. stop saying soon. Stop saying soon and getting our help up.
No soon. Just don't say anything. Just say January. Then we know where we're at. And then all you're doing is touching base with your audience. But soon it could mean anything. It could mean like next weekend. I don't know. Like he was talking. I think it was John when Sissoko had a hamstring injury and he just ran it off. The first and only player to run off a hamstring injury. Sissoko's built differently. But because he was pup, it didn't really matter. It was like, oh, look, that's interesting. He had a hamstring injury. Now he's fine 6 days later. But Van de Ven, who we desperately need it, but his hamstring practically snapped in half. It's bullshit. Let's do another question. Frazinho says, do you think Chelsea and Manchester City will ever get sanctioned for financial fair play? Or is it all going to be swept under the carpet, Rick?
They will probably, it'll probably be one of those things where, you know, a team in Europe gets fined for racism and it'll be like a £3,000 fine, which means absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
To these clubs and the money, I just... they'll be able to buy their way out of it or pay the X amount of million and it will just kind of
even
be swept under the carpet. I can't see them being deducted a significant amount of points or titles being stripped or any of that stuff. And I think it's going to be because like with City, there's, you know, 100+ charges against them. So it's going to be like, how are you going to make any of those
disband?
Yeah,
it's got to be a relegation. Like if Everton are getting 10 points for one, they've got 116. Like you're talking about, we've got to remove them from the league. You're not allowed to cheat.
Yeah,
I think there will be. But, I think. Sorry, go on, Carl.
I was just going to say, like, you know, my opinion on this, whether or not it will happen is a different thing to whether or not you want it to happen, isn't it? Like, it's that thing of my opinion on it is very much based on how people have reacted to this whole Defoe thing. Do you know what I mean? When people are suddenly getting a bit excited that we might get done. And if we got done, then I want to take the whole league down. You know what I mean? I'm suddenly, yeah. I want the whole place to burn.
I'm not.
Whereas actually, at the minute, my cynicism is like, no one's going to really get in trouble. It's actually surprising that Everton just got done, man.
Did you Did you do an old for fuck's sake when that broke, when Times released a story about this issue with Jermaine Defoe's transfer to Tottenham and that there was a unlicensed agent involved called Mitchell Thomas who just will not refuse to fuck us in the arse at every opportunity he has. Bearing in mind that Mitchell Thomas was a right back or left back for us way back in the day. I think we bought him from Luton Town and he was awful. And yet 20 years later, he's still going, you know what, I'm not done with you yet. So he was the unlicensed agent that was used. We used a licensed agent. We paid them £1 million to sort this deal out. And it was that person, as I understand it, who used the unlicensed agent. So it wasn't Tottenham directly. It was secondary. So which is why at the time it was like, well, Spurs haven't done anything wrong. Now the Times are like, oh God, look, everyone's doing exposés on football clubs. Let's get Tottenham. It appears that perhaps we haven't done anything wrong at all.
At first, I was just like, you know, it didn't really seem that big a deal. It was back in 2008, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, it's a massive fucking reach, isn't it, to go all the way back then to try and get us for something there. And then I did see, so I wasn't that bothered, but then I did start reading a few articles about the Premier League really do want to clamp down and make examples of clubs that use unlicensed agents. And it is a massive thing for them. And then I was like, for fuck's sake, like, are they going to get us? Like, what does that mean? But I'm a little bit more calm on it again. So I wasn't that bothered. Then I was a little bit scared. And now I'm just a bit like, oh, fuck off. Like, are they going to go back through every single club and like dig up every deal that they've ever done? Because I mean, this is the murky world of football, isn't it? Like, it happens all the time with these types of deals.
The FA said that if there's new evidence to be seen, then they'll look into it. So, but because of the story around Everton and them crying their eyes out because they've got this 10. Manchester City have done all that and they haven't been punished. Like, why are you punishing us? Like, Everton fans are printing out 38,000 leaflets saying the Premier League is corrupt and they're going to fly a plane over the Etihad. That's what they're doing tomorrow. You broke the rules. You admitted to breaking the rules. You worked with the Premier League to say, look, we've broken rules. It came out also that you tried to misguided the Premier League to the extent of which you had. And now they've punished you. And then we go, no, but we... Look, if we don't want to be punished because Chelsea and Man City haven't been punished. They're going through a process.
No, but I think surely the argument is more, if why are we only getting punished? But the obvious big culprits, like everyone knows that City and Chelsea have fucking done dodgy shit and, you know, they've juiced up the market and all that. Like, you know, it's that. I think that's the thing.
I understand the anger comes from
why are we the only...
Right, okay.
And again, that's what I feel like is what would happen if this Defoe thing... If it all kicked off, I would feel exactly like that. I'd be fucking flying a plane over the Etihad.
I'd be flying it into the Etihad. Look, there's three people, right? They're all up for a murder charge, okay? One of them says, I'm guilty. Does he then go to trial or does he get sentenced immediately? He gets sentenced immediately and the other two have to go for a long trial in order to prove that they were definitely guilty. That is the process that's happening here. I don't understand why it's so hard for Everton fans to understand that. Chelsea, it's particularly Man City, are saying, we're not guilty of any of this and you have to prove that we have done it, which is the right way because innocent until proven guilty is the crux of our justice system.
Right.
They're saying we haven't done anything
wrong.
The
problem there is Everton caved in and admitted it too soon. They should have just kept their mouth shut.
Yes, but eventually they would have got done and the points would have been... They've basically been too honest.
Yeah,
they're basically too honest. Whereas, and to a certain extent, Chelsea have been because they're saying, "Oh, we've found." Bowley has said we've found some issues with our accounts, and you need to look into this. On top of that, the Guardian have done that expose of all these deals that they have proof that have happened outside of footballing matters that directly benefited Chelsea. But yeah. I think Bowley's going, "Well, no, hang on, I'm telling you about this now so that you don't really get us. The reality is it's irrelevant who they have to be punished because they manipulated the fabric of the competition." It's interesting, but there is no corruption. This is the thing that gets me. It's like when fans complain about corruption. The referees are corrupt. What do you mean the referee? If the referees are corrupt, that means they stand to benefit from Arsenal not beating Newcastle. How is that corrupt? It's not corrupt. It's inept. It's frustrating. Yeah. But corrupt would mean that there's a cabal of referees that are out to get Arsenal Football Club, which is madness.
Yeah, all this money, all they seem to think they're being paid off or something. Like, that's what corruption suggests.
Yeah.
People are being rewarded for these bad decisions.
Yeah.
But they actually, what's that? I've forgotten the phrase, but, you know, normally the most obvious answer is the correct one, isn't it? And the most obvious answer is the referees have made mistakes forever. But now, because we've got VAR, every mistake is pored over and feels way bigger than it was.
And your moron manager stokes the flames. That's why you feel like there's an injustice. It's because you're blindly following the fucking witterings of a moron. by proxy, that makes you all morons, Arsenal fans. Got a question from Dazzling Airline 2589 here. As an Australian Spurs supporter, I just want to know Flav's reaction to Australia winning the One Day World Cup again on a clearly doctored wicket in front of a one-sided cricket-obsessed crowd. On a scale of Eric Dyer to Travis Head, how good was it? I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, and why don't you go fuck yourself, mate? We've got loads of Australians that listen to the podcast, Carl. Where are you touring next?
Well, so the tour, this is the last night of the tour I'm on supporting Kevin.
Oh, right.
But then I'm back to Melbourne tomorrow, and I'm basically based out of Melbourne for quite a few months. And then I'm going to be darting around a bit. I'm gigging in Melbourne on and off for the next couple of months. And then I'm going to go Brisbane for a week in January. And then I might nip to Adelaide in February. I might go to New Zealand for a week in February as well. And then I'm going to do a full month at the Melbourne Comedy Festival in March.
They're never going to remember that, Carl. That's...
But anyone who lives in those places, follow me on Instagram, and I'll be putting them out as they go.
At Carl Donnelly.
Yes.
Ricky Zuri says, how many times would you let Romero bum you if it meant that Madison and Van der Ven were magically healthy again?
not for health. I don't want to get bumped for health. League title, maybe.
Hang on, one but bumming, no, you wouldn't. You wouldn't take one bum in from Romero, if
no,
it meant, not just one. No one would know. It's just you and him.
No, not.
What
for,
about if
not,
it meant they all stayed fit for the whole season? Yeah. We didn't get a single other injury.
Right, now we're talking, Carl. Now we're talking.
Hang on a second. Do you know how important these players are?
It's not
are
the first time I've negotiated this sort of stuff.
Ricky, we need these players back. We need the players back.
Yeah, we do, but I don't know. Not just so that they come back. They'll be back in 3 weeks anyway.
What if you're... It's not 3 weeks.
Yeah, so your bum will be back to normal in 3 weeks.
I don't know how long it takes for a bum to recover from a session.
But I think for one off, it's quick, man. I think you're talking like a day or two.
Day or two, Ricky. and that would mean against Manchester City, Van der Ven and Madison are miraculously back. Title challenge back on, but you won't.
Nah,
you won't have
nah.
one.
Would you do it?
And I'm asking you, aren't I?
Well, I'm asking you.
Well, okay, right. Let me think about this. Really, really. Let's dig into this, because you're asking me right now. Click of a finger. Madison, Romero, Van der Ven. The team is back. And all I've got to do for 20 minutes is get buggered by Romero.
Yeah.
Within, as Carl has explained, within 2 days, my arse is back to normal.
Yeah.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. ArmorAll, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
I mean, what I think if you had an opportunity to get Bambara Mary, you should take it regardless, even if you get nothing.
Because life's it's a win-win, really, isn't it? Win-win.
Life's for living. I did this. What did you do on Thursday night? What, exactly. Sat on Coronation Street? I got fucked by Romero.
You'd be able to shout across the table in a pub, have you been Bambara World Cup winner? No. Exactly. So sit down.
That
sounds like the opening line to like an advert you see on Channel 4 in the daytime. That's clever claiming compensation.
I fuck Van de Ven and fuck Morrison. I'm doing it. Okay, good. Diddy Barnett says, you wake up one day to find a magical power to stop a certain type of crime from ever being committed again in the world. However you do this, you must be first to commit said crime. What do you choose? So if you murdered someone, you must kill someone first.
Yeah, that's surely to pick that one and just kill someone you don't like.
Well, there's a lot that's going through my mind that I don't want to say.
Yeah.
That's the problem with this question.
Oh, God.
Don't want to say it. Certainly don't want it recorded and listened to by thousands of people.
Take it to the WhatsApp.
Yeah. I'm going to play it safe and say murder. I think I could murder someone.
Really?
Yeah. If there's a couple of people out there that I think I could murder. It wouldn't put up much of a fight.
I'd probably go with petty theft.
Petty theft?
Yeah.
You want to reduce petty... You've got an opportunity to cure all kinds of ill in the world.
Okay, right. I see.
So if you do a murder, all murders stopped.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I could do that then.
But petty theft, you saying, let's get rid of petty theft?
Well, it's a plague on our society, Flav. It really is.
Shoplifting is an issue, massive issue.
Yeah, I want more police on the streets than in department stores checking for petty theft.
Excellent. Okay. Spurs fan 107, he says, Villa at home, City away, West Ham at home, Newcastle at home. Given injuries, how many points from our next four? A bit pessimistic, but I think four would be a success.
Oh, after Jesus how
we
Christ.
Looked against Wolves. I'd say six.
So six. I think is what I'll be content with six out of that.
Yeah. The thing is.
So hang on a second. Villa home, City away, Newcastle home. Is it?
Yes.
And then who was the other team? Was it just those three?
It was.
There was someone else.
Villa at home, City away, West Ham at home, and Newcastle at home. Three home games there.
Yeah, 9 points. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And then we start getting our players back, and then you're suddenly going, oh, hello. Right, Tottenham's back. This is the thing, is that this of this stage, I don't know how you feel about this, Carl, is that there was the mood around the club and the stuff that people were saying about Postecoglou and this Tottenham team before the injuries happened was mental. Like, we were literally talking about going to Christmas unbeaten, like a title challenge being on. This isn't, while it is a difficult adjustment to take on board, it isn't in the long run not that damaging, because the reality of where we are isn't where we were after 10 games. We're a long way from that, and we need to build a squad that's comparable with it. So this readjustment for our mental health probably isn't the worst thing in the world, if I'm being sort of philosophical about it.
And again, we're all forgetting how we felt, you know, in the summer. You know, most fans were relatively happy when Postecoglou came in. I know there was a bit of grumbles, but like most of us were sort of like, after Conte, we just wanted somebody who seemed like a nice enough person, who wasn't an arsehole, who hated us. So I think there was an element of, you know, almost like, oh, this will be, at least there's no expectations. No one went into the season with expectations. So I think we've got to constantly, during this period where we're going to be a bit all over the shop until we reset, I think we've got to remember that and just try and like remember how neutral and sort of probably low expectation we were. Then try and remember the good times where we suddenly thought, well, we're going to win the league. And then now this will cause us to resettle back to an actual objective, like, oh, I think we've improved loads, but we've still got loads of work to do. That should be how we think about it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I mean, look, we've got a question here from Andy Dixon. He says, most of us have expected a drop-off this season and went... most of us have expected a drop-off as the season went on, but how far is acceptable? Before the season, I would have been happy with an 8th or higher, but now I'll be disappointed with anything outside top four. What's your target, Rick?
Before the season kicked off, the top target was 4th place. That was the biggest that I... The highest that I thought we could achieve. Realistically, I'd probably go 5th or 6th, where I think we would have ended up on the lower side, because obviously you've got Ange coming in, different style of play, different mentality, loads of different players coming in. It's kind of like wiping the slate clean, and it's gonna take time. And even said there's going to be a lot of bumps in the roads and all of that. So the way that we've started has kind of skewed the way in where we all think that we were going to finish. And now we've had these two losses. It's kind of readjusted our thinking and our focus. But I still think we are further along than what I expected us to be. And the way that the players, the squad have picked up how Ange wants us to play and how the players are kind of gelling and understanding his ideas and philosophy and our attacking side, I still feel like we are going to sneak fourth. I really do.
And remember, 5th is Champions League this season.
What, 5th?
Yeah. If the coefficient goes our way, which it looks like it will be, then the top five get Champions League football. Does that make you feel a bit better, Rick?
I didn't know we were getting an agenda. Fucking hell.
Easy, mate. Easy.
Fuck, yeah, boy.
It's not there yet, Rick, but it could be coming.
Okay.
Nearly there.
You sold me a dream before, Flav, so
I'll
this be
conversation.
Wary.
You can't keep... If I say something, you cannot then...
I can take it to my heart and use it as a pillow when I go to sleep and think about the words you said to me. And if they don't come to fruition, then you are in trouble.
Yeah, but just keep it inside. Don't then bring it up on me like 4 months later and remember when you said this. Just push it down and just keep it inside forever.
Down. Okay, yeah. I'll do that.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I'm right about that, 5th. What do you think about Giovanni Lo Celso, Carl? Because we have this question here from Yanis Costa-Ramason. And he says, seriously, can we even play Ange Ball system without Maddison? We all know that Gio will never do it for us. The man is in the dictionary next to the word half-baked. Trust Ange and all that, but fucking hell.
I've never really been sold on Lo Celso. I've never seen him do anything that's made me go like, get excited. I think he's a bit of a dog shit, if I'm honest. Not to be rude, but like I've never got it. I don't even like the way he, like his shape. He doesn't look, you know, like everything about him. I think it's a bit just bland. He's not Ndombele waste of money, but I just think he's close. Just not the level that we need. So. I know some people are calling for him to play. I just don't think he can do it.
Yeah, talking about being accountable for things you've said, because I've been remotely positive about Lo Celso recently. I've been getting stick saying, why'd you love him so much? What was his shit? All I'm saying is that Lo Celso, we need Lo Celso if in Ange's system. Ange Postecoglou is not going to play any other way than the way it's got him to the position that he's in right now. If Maddison's not there, Lo Celso is his backup, and this is the opportunity for him to play. He has to play him. Now, I'm not saying, based on what we've seen thus far for his career at Spurs, that he's remotely good enough. The evidence would suggest that he's not. But you also look at what he did playing for back in Spain for the various football clubs that he played for, Villarreal, naming one, and Betis, who we bought him from. I think we bought him from there. He was quality over there, and he assisted a goal for Argentina during the break from a corner, many people of which never want to see him take corners again. So I'm saying we have to believe in him. Let's give him a chance. This will be a sustained run in the team, you'd think. if he starts and if Postecoglou believes in him. And this is a player also that Postecoglou didn't want to sell in the summer. So let's just see what happens. Let's not discount him before he's even kicked a ball in earnest this season.
Yeah.
I mean, he can do, but it was not very nice mind space to be in.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I think given the options we've got, he should probably get a run in it. But I think he's somebody who's not going to last at our club, and he will ultimately move on. But yeah, I totally agree. Like, I think at least he's a semi-attacking player who, you know, can make a pass. So I'd pick him over bloody, you know, Højbjerg or someone trying to play the Maddison role.
Yeah. We have to, yeah. You got any thoughts on Lo Celso?
Yeah, I mean, I just, like you're saying, I think he's the only guy that is more experienced and that can play that Maddison role. He just, at Tottenham, he's just always injured, and he just hasn't had, from memory, he hasn't had a good run of games. And maybe... With Madders out, he can grab this opportunity, and he can show what he can do. I mean, like, he gets picked and played for Argentina. There must be something there, and I quite like the fact that he's left-footed, and it's the different angles from that position that he can pick out. Mm. And I have seen him play those cute kind of reverse pass balls, nice balls down the channel. So maybe. I mean, he's been at our club for how long, and it hasn't worked out really for him. I think this is pretty much last chance saloon for him. So if he doesn't grab this opportunity now, then come the summer, he's off.
Well, come January, he's going to Barcelona. They want him. So it's not that.
Why do Barcelona want him?
Not the end. Well, maybe they know a little bit more about how good he is than our fan base.
Yeah, maybe.
they've got an injury to Gavi, who's out for the season, some sort of knee injury, and they want him to replace him. And they know that that obviously he's going to join Barcelona if they come knocking. What would be apt, and the most Spursy thing that could happen, is Lo Celso plays outstanding football, and then we're like, oh fuck yeah, he's good, so good. We're not sure Maddison actually gets back in that level good, and then Barcelona goes, yeah, well, we want him now, and he's gone. That would be Spursy.
Yeah. He goes to Barcelona and wins La Liga there.
100% is going to happen.
Yeah. And he becomes Messi's like replacement going forward.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Tommy Douglas says, have you grown tired of people asking, would you let X bum you or your wife or your mum or your dad if it meant we could? Why? Because they've become mean questions, like Bart Simpson saying, I didn't do it a million times, and only saying it despondently because he's expected to, well, it's lost its luster. Because I have. If you're bored of listening to it, yes, is the answer. I mean, I'm not how many times we can kind of spin an answer about would we let someone bum. Oh, no, we did it this episode, didn't we?
Yeah.
Just as I'm saying that, I was like, hang on, we've had this conversation already. I think it's hard to sometimes respond to those questions in a way that's remotely entertaining, and I appreciate Tommy Douglas as an inertia to that question has set in for him. Just on that, do you fart in front of your partners according to one Reddit for coys?
I think I'm a zero. I don't ever fart in front of my wife.
No, same.
I'm really anti it.
Yeah, why?
I remember growing up, my dad always just dropped them around the house.
Yeah,
I always just thought I'm never going to be that guy.
Yeah,
I don't mean I do. I sort of try, you know, I've in bed and that, I'll sneak one out the side of the covers and stuff if I need to.
Yeah, been there. Ricky, do you remember my dad when we? I think he was in the Milan away. He was in this big room.
Yeah.
What was it? Set the scene.
Yeah, so I was asleep on the sofa, and as I was waking up, I kind of. Just like wiping the sleep from my eyes and see your dad get up, and he bowled past me in like these white briefs.
Yeah.
And as we caught eyes, he went, morning, Ricky boy. And then he cocked his leg up and farted, and then did a hoarse, powerful piss in the toilet. I stood there watching. I was like, fucking hell, this is a rude awakening. I enjoyed it. It's a man's man.
All right, Ricky boy.
Yeah. The average person farts 14 times a day. I'm not hiding all that air, just waiting for little bits where I can sneak off and fart. I'm letting it out. That's it.
Well, but even if it's going to be an audible one.
Yeah, audible, smelly, doesn't matter. We all do it. No, got course. Nothing to hide.
It's about mystique, isn't it? It's about maintaining.
I think so.
Maintaining mystique. You've been with your missus like 24 years, though, Rick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get to 24 years with your wife, you can just suddenly go, I'm going to fart in front of her now. We've passed that magical line.
No, I don't think so. You were doing it from day one, weren't you, pig?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But then, I mean, it's also, I suppose they change over time as well. Like now, I've just hit the age, I'm hitting the age that my dad was when I was born. And like, I just remember, I think they just sound different, don't they? Middle-aged farts just sound, they sound sad, don't they?
Yeah, they sound grumpy.
They do.
Sometimes I'll do one and it sounds like a hand has come out my ass and just clicked like that. I was like, that didn't sound like a fart.
The worst is when you're at the football. The amount of people drinking beer and eating dirty pies and dropping their guts at the football. But Rick, it's all in your mouth, all up your nose. It's disgusting.
But the thing is, at the football, is it's one smell. All farts at football smell the same way, and it's disgusting. But
they smell. If I did one fart that smelled like that at home, I'd go straight to the hospital, man. It's like it's so bad. It's like you must have some rectal problem.
But it's everyone at football does the same fart. It's the same. It's a certain brew at the football, and it's just everyone knows exactly. You could never describe that smell. But everyone who's been to football knows exactly what I'm talking about. That smell. I can't smell it, but I can imagine that smell now. Right now, I can.
Yeah.
Mad.
I can't wait to stand there. I can't wait till Sunday. I hope my cold clears so I can have a good old, you know, sniff up.
just off to the toilet. You're going to the toilet a lot of reasons because the toilets are like the epicenter of it because of the low ceilings. There's nothing like, do you know what I miss? There's a lot wrong with football back in the old days, but finding people smoking in the toilets mixed with that kind of guff. It's an overload to the senses, and I miss it. Got a question here from the Christian Viking. He says, would you rather have City get 30 points deducted, which helps our chances of winning the league, but also helps them lot? Or would you rather City not get punished at all? If there was an opportunity where, like, forget Spurs in this, and Arsenal and City are going for the title, I know for the good of football, you need City to be punished for their cheating, but I would rather they didn't get punished and Arsenal didn't win the league. Like, fuck it. Let them do it if that's the fallout.
Give them more points, if anything.
Yeah,
if
it's between more points for being
if it's between City and Arsenal,
You realise you've done something wrong, but admire your goal, admire your ambition. Yeah. Giving you an extra 10 points.
10% bonus for being gangsters.
What's the general opinion on Daniel Levy at the moment, in your understanding, Rick?
Oh, I'm glad you came to me first with that one.
What do you think it is? We had a question here from Radio that says, why has Levy out gone quiet? But I don't think it has. And another one says, when does Daniel Levy get out of our club start again?
When results don't... I think there's two points. If results don't start going our way and we start to slide... and then there is how Ange is backed in the January transfer window.
Yeah.
Because we've seen that there has been a real bad, you know, our whole squad's been hit by injuries. And we don't know when we're going to get these players back. And some of them are quite serious injuries. And if we get to January and we haven't addressed that squad depth even by a little bit, then you are going to start to wonder. But it's how much of that is it going to be that Ange said, oh, they're not suitable. These are the players you've got. They're not suitable. They don't come in, or that we do want them, but it's more appropriate to get them and easier to get them in the summer. January is a very hard time to get players, but I'm in that mindset that we absolutely need to bring more players in, to keep us at the top end of the table. And if we don't, you know, is it down to Levy for not paying 5 million more over the odds? Is it down to Ange for saying, you've given me these players with this data set, but I just don't think they have the right mentality? And
that's the awkward thing, isn't it? You never know
exactly
the answers to these things.
I don't know.
Yeah. If you've got a figure in your head about what kind of spend that we need to do in January to keep people happy with Daniel Levy, I've got a figure in my head in terms of what we need to speculate in January for people to be happy with the window. What's yours, Ricky?
Because knowing Tottenham will probably do a loan for someone.
What's the figure, Ricky?
I am going to go for probably around 60 million.
I was thinking 80, I don't think there's a world where that happens. What about you, Carl?
I was going to say 50. I think like 50 is...
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
You know, you could get a couple of players in, or you could try and get one really good player in or something. But like, but in terms of the original question about like where is that sort of Levy out noise gone? I think it's always the case with, like, you know, you get the vocal people that are really, that is their cause. But then when we're doing bad and the atmosphere is bad, your general, it's almost like politics, isn't it? Your sort of centrists will lean towards that. And then suddenly the noise is louder. When, but suddenly, because we're playing well, the sort of centrists almost don't want to rock the apple cart today. So we all go a bit quiet. So I think it's you know, the noise level of that belief and that protest just is always based on what's going on the pitch. Or it's always probably three games away from it becoming a bit louder again.
So I'm not sure like how much you can. I know. I guess the criticism of Daniel Levy is that the squad was light, we knew it was light, and the injury crisis was coming. It's just, but by the same token, we may have been able, apart from the centre back situation, we may have been able to cope. And certainly, actually, even in that situation where if it was a game or two, it would be okay, we may have been able to cope with an injury here and there. But to have 9 first team players out injured, 5 of them on long term injuries, is difficult for any chairman or any football club to legislate for. Like Manuel Solomon, first team player. Perisic, first team player. Madison, Van der Ven, all first team players. They're all out for fucking ages.
Richie's gone as well now.
Richarlison gone as well.
Yeah.
How can that be? What is the argument that is Daniel Levy's fault? You can't legislate for five or six players.
And also, I do think the general consensus of, like, you know, Levy's popularity, I think his stock has gone up a bit based on the start to the Ange era by the fact that some of the people we did already have in that, you know, he spent some money on that we might not have thought were ever going to become good have come good. So suddenly you know, the transfers that he has overseen look better than we thought they did 6 months ago, don't they? So suddenly you're not as, you know, you're not as questioning him as much as you probably were 6 months ago.
Yeah, agreed. Absolutely agreed. Brian Hill, what's your feelings on him? A couple of people are kind of asking whether or not he should start. Would you start with a front line of, you know, Johnson, Kane, fucking hell. It's been so entrenched in my... I felt sick saying that, and now sad. I feel very sad now. I feel really sad.
Saying your ex's name when you're talking to your new girlfriend.
Yeah, it's really sad. And she's sad that I've done that.
Yeah, everyone's sad.
Everyone's sad by that slip-up. Jesus, might stop the pod. Son, Johnson and Kulusevski starts. I can't see a world where Hill gets in. I really can't.
No, I can't either. But and I really like him. And I, there is part of me that feels that he could do a job coming in off the bench. But then I think when he came on against Wolves, and he looked like a child. He just looked like he was getting pushed off the ball. When Wolves being a bit more aggressive and direct and putting pressure on him, he was just hitting the deck too easily. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he is suited to the Premier League. Might be a bit cliche because, you know, he is quite slight, but he just, I don't know. I don't think he will be a success with us personally.
Do you think your mum's suited to the Premier League?
No, I don't think she is.
What are attributes that make her not suitable for Premier League football?
Well, she could probably run. She could run as fast as Dyer. Put it...
How old is she?
She's 65.
Should have started with that.
Yeah,
that's the first issue. That's her first barrier to Premier League football, isn't it? She's 65. we've got a good one here from Austin 416. Says Everton really thought that they were going to sell Richarlison for £80 million. This is Everton. They made an assumption that was his value, and that we underpaid for Richarlison, which, as it turns out, is obviously nonsense. We overpaid. But what's your most deluded valuation of a Tottenham player in hindsight? He says, I'll go first. I told Manchester United to fuck off when they wanted Dyer for about 40, 50 million. That was under Mourinho. I remember that specifically. There were players I thought were much, but like I thought Lewis Holtby could be generational for Spurs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's,
Dombele.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'd probably put him top, actually.
There are still people that rate him, you know that. I saw somebody share another bloody compilation today saying, like, just imagine how good he was if he was a bit fitter and got a running team. It's like, just give it up, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
a different brain is what you're saying. The brain is, like, crucial to everything.
A different brain, body... life leading up to this point, like every single facet of him
was different.
It's like Trigger's broom from Only Fools and Horses, mate.
Emrona says, when I was an edgelord on football Twitter about 10 years ago, I said Bentaleb was more valuable than Sterling. Generally thought he was going to be elite for us. I thought there was a time when Bentaleb...
I thought he was going to be good. Yeah. That was a good shout, Bentaleb.
Yeah. Ninjitsu style, he says City wanting Kane for like 75 million or whatever was fucked the other way. Then they got Grealish for 100 million. I don't remember the order, but the move suggests they could have paid 100 million pounds for Kane but didn't want to. Guess it all worked out with Haaland. But it is mad when you look back at that situation where they wanted 100 million pounds 3 years before he went to Bayern Munich for 86 million pounds. They wanted him for 75. And then behaved like we were being out of order. You remember what Guardiola said? Oh, you can't keep a player against his will. And like, well, yeah, we fucking can. We kept him three years against his will. We locked him up. We said, you're not going anywhere. and then we sent him out of the fucking country. That's how big clubs behave. We've made him so miserable, made him to do something he didn't want to do. What do you think Kane thinks about us? Is there a part of him that goes, I've wasted my entire career at that fucking football club?
I don't. I reckon there is a little bit of him that's like, look, probably will look back in hindsight and be like, you know, it might have been nice to go somewhere a bit earlier. But he seems to be having a good old time in Munich. So I think, you know, that'll cheer him up.
That then, makes me sick.
You know, it'll be all right.
Every goal is like a dagger to my heart. Hate it.
I do think he whether or not it was a genuine affection for Tottenham, but I do think he really wanted to win a trophy with his teammates and for Poch and where we were in that bubble back then, and everything was good. And I think he'll look back and he'll be gutted that he couldn't do that. The best time that he probably had at a football club where he felt most at home. And he was the geezer, weren't he? Walking down the corridor, dick swinging everywhere. He was number one, and he just didn't get his hands on a trophy. So I think he'll probably look back and just be a bit sour about that. But you know, he's absolutely smashing at the Bundesliga now, and he's at Bayern Munich. And you know, I don't know. Do you think there's a world where he potentially comes back?
I think he really dislikes Daniel Levy for what he did, for keeping him there, making him sign that long contract. I know that's not Daniel Levy's fault, and he's got Tottenham's best interests at heart when he's managed to convince Harry Kane to sign that contract. And there should have been break clauses in there. That wasn't on Daniel Levy. It's not on him to make it easier for Kane to leave. It's on Daniel Levy to protect an asset for Tottenham Hotspur, and that's what he did with Harry Kane. But as a person, I can imagine Kane looking at it going, I think you done me dirty there a little bit. You played on the frailties in my team, i.e. my brother being my agent, and we had this gentleman's agreement that clearly existed, and you didn't honour it. So I think that he doesn't come back because of Daniel Levy. That's my gut feeling. I think he goes to Man United.
Yeah, I think he might be right.
What about you, Cole?
I don't think he'll come back. I reckon he'll get used to. I reckon he'll like life in Germany, mate. Now he's got a house now. His family are moving. Nice over there, isn't it? It's not nice.
It ain't nice. It's all right. It's easily one of the worst European countries in Europe.
But you know, he probably likes the food because the food's a bit boring.
His family,
you know,
are not even there.
He's got simple tastes. He's
living out of a fucking hotel. Eating tins
but now
of beans.
He's found a house, hasn't he? Hasn't he just bought a house?
Has he? All right, that's good. That's good.
I ate one of my best sandwiches.
You're
going to see out a few years.
What was that, Rick?
I ate one of my my best sandwiches when I was out in Munich.
Did you?
It was like a giant pretzel sliced in half, and then it had all like chicken and bacon inside the pretzel.
Oh my
it
God.
Was just, yeah, it was fantastic. Fantastic.
I've been, I've got some time for Cologne, but other than that, like Dortmund was one of the worst places I've ever been. I've never been to Berlin, so I'm not going to hate on Berlin. I don't know.
Berlin and Munich are both top tier.
You've been
loved
to
it.
Leverkusen? Because I have. Exactly. What do you know about? Oh, I've just been to the best bits and looked around all the best bits of Germany. The reality where people live day to day is Leverkusen. It's like the Wolverhampton of Germany. All right, boys, I think that'll do. I've just noticed that Sandy Toksvig is trending on Twitter, so I've got to find out what that's about.
God.
I don't think she's dead. Okay.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's she's good. Come out of straight.
That's almost more surprising than I'd be dead. Good. Cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Bye.
Everybody wanna come and run it, but they're funny like a dummy in the bummy of your mom. nose flat, face a prick. Think you're getting sticky in the mini sucking willy. When you're getting grilly, yeah, you're gonna bang the milli. Bang, bang.
Podcast Network.